Come, Holy Spirit, take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name. Last week I talked about a story of a bar that burned down. This week I want to talk about a church that caught on fire. And there was a village atheist that was not a bad person, but he was someone who certainly didn't believe and he didn't go to church at all. And one day the only church in town caught on fire. And so all the townspeople began to run toward the church to see what they could do to help put out the fire. And the village atheist also went running toward the church as well. And someone saw him running and said, "This is the first time I've ever seen you running to church." And he said, "Well, this is the first time I've ever seen the church on fire." Well, I'm going to talk about a church that was on fire. Not physically, but spiritually. And that church was the early church. The church we read about in the book of Acts. And certainly when Jesus appeared to his disciples in that upper room after his resurrection, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He imparted to them the Holy Spirit. But he also said that they were then later on to wait in Jerusalem until they had been clothed with power from on high. And so when that power from on high came upon them on the day of Pentecost, then they received that which Jesus had promised to give to them. And so there's evidences in the early church that they were a Spirit-filled church. And I want to look at today, what are some of the marks of a Spirit-filled church? We could also apply that to individuals. What is the mark of an individual that is filled with the Holy Spirit as well? And so when the church began on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, it said, filled the church at that time. They weren't meeting in a church building, but they were meeting together as the church, as the body of Christ. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 39, we see the story of the birthday of the church. We also see a church that was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, as I was looking at that story, I came across about five marks of a church that is a Spirit-filled church. And I want to talk about those five marks over the next few weeks. Today I want to focus on one particular mark of a Spirit-filled church. And as I focus on that, it also is that which applies to us as individuals as well. And so I'll be talking about the other four during the next subsequent weeks. But today I want to talk about one mark of a Spirit-filled church. Now the five marks about which I'll be speaking are: a Spirit-filled church is a church that has power, purity, it has passion, and it is a church of the persuaded, and it is a church of peace. So all of these characteristics are characteristics of a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And these five marks are marks that really should be reflected in all churches. I wonder if we as an Anglican church, does the Anglican church reflect those five marks? Do we as a St. Anne's church reflect those five marks? And do we as individual Christians reflect those five marks? Well, as I said, I want to talk about one of those marks in particular. And the first mark I want to talk about is that which we see was evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit's working in the life of the early church. And that was the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, we see when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and the apostles meeting in that upper room, it says that the Holy Spirit came as a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And we understand and recognize that wind can be very powerful. It can be something that can really destroy, or it can be something that can move something. And so the sound of a mighty rushing wind was indicative of the power of the Spirit coming upon the apostles and disciples. And then it says that they began to speak in other languages, other tongues, as the Spirit gave them the ability. And certainly, as we see that particular thing, we recognize that the church was doing something unique at that time, something that had not been done. And so as they were experiencing these tongues given to them by the Holy Spirit, we're told that these were what the Bible calls speaking in tongues. Paul calls it a prayer language that people were praying in. And Paul says this on one occasion: "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding." And so they were filled with the power of the Spirit, and he gave them a special ability to do something that they were not ordinarily able to do. Another evidence of the power of the Spirit is the healing power of the Spirit. They were able to do the same sort of healings that Jesus was doing. And so we see that as they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, people began to be healed. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John came to a lame man. And as they came to him, they prayed for him, and he stood up and he began to walk and leap and praise God. We see that healing continued on throughout the book of Acts. And the healing power of the church was simply part of their everyday life as they took care of one another. There are different types of healings that took place, of course. Physical healing was one of the main ones, but there was also emotional healing. Emotional healing can take place in the life of a person whose emotions are wounded in some way. And certainly we see that happening in the book of Acts and the New Testament as well. Emotional healing is something that can happen to individuals and families as well. I heard about a family that was really on the verge of destruction. This was a young couple that had a young child, and they were contemplating divorce because the man had had an affair with a woman with whom he worked. And so because of that, the pastor of their church said this: since they were a part of our church, his wife came to our house to ask for help for their marriage. Before I could get very involved, his job required them to transfer to another town where I knew the pastor of a large church. I called him and told him the situation and asked him if he could help them to save their marriage. He called upon them. He brought them into counseling in his church. The people of the church took them in, and in time their marriage was saved. And they became active, influential members of the church, he said. The power of the Holy Spirit working through the church provided emotional healing for those people. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Peter reminded his readers how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. When Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was healed of the emotional scars of the persecution that he had enacted upon the church. And so there is emotional healing that comes along with the power of the Holy Spirit. There is also a third type of healing, and that is spiritual healing. We see in that a church that is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit is a church that in which people are being reconciled to God. Sinners are coming to know Christ on a regular basis, and spiritual healing is happening in the lives of many people. In Acts chapter 2, after Peter had finished preaching to the people about Jesus, it says many of them came to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10, while Peter was talking to another group about Christ, it says the Holy Spirit came upon them as he was speaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak in other tongues. And so the Spirit can impart to us not only physical healing, he also can impart emotional healing and spiritual healing as well. The next mark of a church that is on fire, or a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit, is a church that has transforming power. A church that has transforming power. When a church is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, it transforms the people within it and the community around it. In 1989, the godless communist government of Romania was toppled by a revolt of its citizens. If you watch the media, you were told that the pro-capitalist revolutionaries began the movement that crushed communism and brought a measure of freedom to that country in Eastern Europe. What you were not told was that the revolt that brought down communism started at a secret prayer meeting. A group of Christians had gathered at a home to pray, which was illegal at the time. And when the secret police came to break up the prayer meeting, the local citizens revolted to protect the Christians. From there, it spread across the nation, and soon Romania was freed from communism. A Holy Spirit-filled church has the power to transform its community. Are our churches transforming our communities at all? A church on fire is a church that is a healing church, and a church that is a transforming church. And the third type of power that a church that has been transformed by the Holy Spirit has is really a motivational power. A church that is really motivated. The power of the Holy Spirit in the church is a motivational force to be reckoned with. P- people will leave family and friends and air conditioning to cross the seas to spend their lives in service to others. People will go to great lengths to serve within the church of a Spirit-filled church. A Holy Spirit-filled church is a church of motivational power. The power of the Spirit also can motivate us to give of our resources to further the ministry of the church and to help to meet the needs of others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, for example, we see the Church of Macedonia, which was a Spirit-filled church, and they were motivated to give of their finances to help out the church in Jerusalem at that time. And so a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit is a church full of motivated people that are motivated to serve the Lord in many different ways. And so I would encourage all of us to ask the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit so that we can not only be individuals that are used by God as instruments of healing, but we can also be used by God as instruments to help transform others around us as well as our community, and that the Holy Spirit might indeed be someone who can motivate us to even greater service as well as motivating others. So I'd like us to bow our heads and pray. And as we pray, I'd like you to really focus upon Jesus, because He is the one who imparts to us the Holy Spirit, who gives us that power of the Spirit that we need. And I ask that you would focus upon Him and upon His love. And I'm going to ask the Lord to just fill us with His Holy Spirit at this time. Father, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit into our lives. As Christians, we know that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is the one who brings us into that new and living relationship with Jesus Christ. But Lord, we also know that many times we're missing the power of the Spirit. And Lord, we need His power in order to do the things that you call us to do, to be people that can indeed be instruments of healing, people that can be instruments of transformation, and people that can motivate others to not only turn to you, but also to serve you. Lord, would you fill us now with your Holy Spirit? Would you pour out your Spirit upon us even now, as you did in the book of Acts, so that we might not only be filled with the Spirit, but we might continue from this day on to walk in the power of that same Spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.